Nuketown Radioactive number 85 for Tuesday, March 15th, 2011. Spring is looming large, but just in case it gets waylaid by a late winter storm, I decided to have a spring-themed surprise party for my wife. In geekier news, I started up a gamer working group at my day job and relaunched my gaming group's griffcryer.com website. There's no netheads on this show, but don't worry, you'll still be able to feed that net addiction with a roundup of podcasts that I'm currently listening to. Welcome to Nuketown Radioactive, the occasional podcast about life, liberty, and the pursuit of geekdom. I'm your host, Ken Newquist, and spring is almost here. It's March 15th as I record this. Daylight savings time just kicked in for reasons I don't fully understand and wish they would do away with. But in any case, warmer weather is coming close. I was actually out playing catch on the quad today at my day job, which was really nice. This is a kind of a tradition we've had for like the last 2 or 3 years, I guess, which is once the weather gets a little bit warmer, some friends and I go out onto the quad and we throw the baseball around. And I gotta say, it is one heck of a nice, relaxing change of pace from the regular crush of work. And work has still been pretty much a crush. There seems to be no end to projects and meetings and other such craziness, all of which is compounded by the fact that February around here just sucks. You know, it's cold, it's miserable, it's still getting dark around 5 o'clock, 5:30, and the kids are just going completely stir-crazy because it's cold and wet, but they still think they should be able to go outside just because some of the snow has melted off the ground. So this year I decided to do something a little bit different instead of basically lamenting that spring wasn't here yet and knowing that my wife really, really wants spring to get here so that she can go out and dig in the mud and have fun with her garden. I decided to have a spring surprise party. So I went through, I made a guest list, I contacted those guests, so I figured out, you know, whom I might have missed, who else should be added to the list. I found some willing collaborators in our friends Eliana and Melody, who helped me with all of the food and basically decorating the house while I snuck Sue out. Oh man, it was really, really cool. So I think the hardest part of the whole thing was trying to keep the house clean for a week before the party, because when you have two kids and a dog, it is really hard to keep anything clean for more than a day or two, right? But if you actually clean every day, it starts to get suspicious. So basically, I spun it as, oh, you know, Sue, I know that you're really working hard on your freelance stuff and your jewelry, so I'm just trying to keep the house clean because I know that February is a really crazy time for you. And, you know, that was my cover story, and it worked because I think Sue was so tired from working on her freelance stuff that, you know, she didn't necessarily pick up on all the little things that were kind of going wrong here and there, or, you know, just the fact that I was cleaning the house and doing the dishes every single night, you know, these kinds of things. So at the end of all of our preparations, I had scheduled 2 massages in downtown Easton at Easton Yoga, and that got us out of the house for about 2 hours, and then Sue's friends came over, and they decorated the house, all the guests started arriving, and then at about 3 o'clock, we were done with our massages, we're coming back, and I needed to buy about 15 more minutes. I'm like, oh, you know, it's been a really long time, I should really go and pick up my comic books. So we go down, and we pick up my comic books, and I could see from the look on her face that she did not want me to go and pick up my comic books. You know, she had that, oh, I just want to go home and take a nap, relax, and are you really going to pick up your comic books? And yes, I did go and pick up my comic books, because I needed to text the folks at the party to let them know that we were about to come. So we come back home, and Sue is parking the car, and she looks on the porch and she's like, hey, where did all the stuff go on the porch? Because apparently while we were gone, some of her friends decided that they would clean off the porch. And that nearly gave us away, because we're standing on the porch and Sue's looking, she's like, when did you clean up the porch? And I said, oh, you know, I cleaned it up when you were taking a shower. And she's like, well, Where did you put the stuff? I said, oh, I put it in the basement. Don't worry about it. And I'm just thinking, open the door. It's time to go in. You're going to blow it. So then she finally said, I don't know. Why didn't I see that the porch was clean when we left? Like, oh, you know, I don't know. So then we go inside and she walks in the front door and she can see there's all these candles lit and she's panicking. She's like, why are these candles lit? And that's when, you know, the surprise went off. And before Sue could figure out everything at the last possible minute, you know, the surprise was sprung and it went really well. I mean, the house looked beautiful. I have some photos up as part of my picture a day project of the decorations, and it was really cool. So I had told everyone that they should bring spring or garden themed gifts, and they did, you know. So they brought, well, wine, because, you know, it was, that's kind of a springy thing, right? Wine. But they brought seeds and flowers and, you know, just other, everything that you could possibly use in a garden, or it was garden related or flower related or whatever. So it was a blast. We had a lot of people here, and I'm amazed that I was actually able to pull it off and that Sue didn't figure it out long before the actual event came off. But it was cool, and I successfully surprised my wife, which, if you know Sue, is one heck of an accomplishment. So in other news, I now have a lunchtime gaming group, which is actually pretty cool. It's called the Gamer Working Group, and the idea is that myself and a couple of friends at my day job get together for lunch once or twice a week, and we play Savage Worlds, specifically the Day After Ragnarok campaign setting by Ken Height. And it is pretty cool. You know, we had kicked around a couple of ideas as to how to do this. And actually, if you want to go back about a year or two, I had done a blog post saying, hey, you know, it would be really cool to game over lunch. I wonder how I could pull this off. And then, you know, you flash forward a couple of months, and I mentioned something about it on Twitter. And one of my friends who follows me said, hey, you know, if you're serious, we could do that. And, you know, we kind of asked around. We found a grand total of four of us who wanted to do this. I volunteered to GM. I showed the guys the Savage Worlds rule set, and we sat down and did a one-shot just to kind of say, okay, well, will this really work? Can we pull this off? And the answer is, surprisingly, yes. I think the key to the Gamer Working Group is actually that we are playing Savage Worlds, or rather that we're playing a really rules-light system. So the beauty of Savage Worlds is that it lives up to its, you know, fast, furious, fun motto, because you can set everything up, you can do some role-playing, you can get in a combat, and you can get done in 50 to 60 minutes. And I don't know that I could say the same of Pathfinder or D&D 3.5 or D&D 4th edition, just because those are heavier, crunchier system. I mean, I've had regular, just kind of, you know, weekly campaign type combats that take at least 2 hours to resolve. And that's not without any real role playing thrown in. That's just mechanical stuff. So I was very pleased to see that, you know, this has worked. We've been going for about, I'd say probably about 6 months now. And I'm really enjoying it. I think the key for me is that it is a nice distraction from my regular kind of crazy crush of the job, you know, that you're able to take that that time, you know, twice a week, hang out with your friends, roll some dice, kill some monsters, and then go back, and, you know, the problems of the day don't seem quite so stressful, you know? It's just a nice way to unplug. I think everybody in the group really enjoys being able to get together and throw some dice and just kind of the camaraderie that goes with the gaming group. It's basically just like your weekly game, only much more condensed. Now, I work in IT at a college, so this plan might not work for everyone, but for me, it's worked out really, really well. I've been enjoying it quite a lot. As for my regular gaming group, let's see, sometime in the last few months, I can't actually remember when it was, we relaunched our griffcryer.com website using WordPress multi-site. And I kind of did this mostly as an experiment. For one, I use WordPress multi-site at work, so this is a nice test bed for stuff that I'm going to have to eventually use at work. It also makes my life simpler when we decide to spawn a new sub-campaign and or a new campaign in general, and we want to be able to have a WordPress site for it. I don't have to do a whole new installation. I can just create a new site within multi-site. And I really wanted to experiment with theming. I hadn't built a theme from scratch in WordPress, so this allowed me to do that. I think the campaign blog we have on there right now is at griffcryer.com/battletech, which is for our play-by-post Battletech campaign using the Star Wars Saga Edition rules. There may be one or two other campaigns on there that I'm not remembering, but all in all, I think it worked out pretty well. One of the things that I wanted to do with the site was basically figure out how to do WordPress theming, and pretty much succeeded. I didn't get into the nitty-gritty of doing custom content types and that kind of stuff. I want to circle back and experiment with that more, but I was able to create a basic theme, get a feel for what was involved with it, and while I can't say that the final results are awe-inspiringly beautiful, it is functional, and it does work, and it does serve as an aggregation point for our various personal and campaign blogs. So for me, spring means baseball, and I've been very excited to be able to listen to a couple of baseball games during spring training, and I was able to do that thanks to the MLB At Bat 11 app for my iPhone. I had actually gotten this for the iPod Touch the last 2 years, I think. I think this may be the earliest that I got it, but it was just it was just really, really cool to be able to actually listen to some baseball while I was cleaning the house or just kind of hanging out or, you know, if I'm at work. I find, I don't know what it is about baseball and getting older. I think that, I've talked about this before, but sometime in the last, 10 years, baseball went from being something that I like to watch occasionally to something that I really, really look forward to and really, really enjoy. And having a minor league baseball team in the Lehigh Valley has certainly played into that. I can go and see some reasonably good baseball at pretty good prices, but it's also just a chance to sit back and relax and just kind of not necessarily vegetate, but relax and watch a kind of admittedly slower paced game and just enjoy it. You know, enjoy a good pitching duel, enjoy some great fielding, you know, get that occasional thrill when a ball goes over the fence, that kind of thing. You know, I miss it. I miss it every year when it goes away after the World Series and kind of enter this long, dark tea time of the soul, as Douglas Adams would say, between the end of baseball and the start of spring training. So I'm glad it's back, and I'm really enjoying the MLB app. It's worth every penny of the $15-odd that I spent on it.
Hi, this is Fraser.
This is Chris.
This is Chuck.
This is David.
From the Accidental Survivors, and you're listening to Nuketown Radioactive.
Well, I don't have nearly as much time as I used to listen to podcasts. I still do make an effort to do so. I have been aided in my podcast listening by the fact that some of my favorite shows aren't actually putting out shows as frequently as they used to. I know that I have absolutely no legs to stand on here, but it is helpful when, say, the Accidental Survivors only put out a podcast once every couple of months, because I don't know that I'd be able to keep up with them if they had their old schedule of a podcast every other week or something like that. So in any case, I have been doing a fair amount of podcast listening, and I think I'm enjoying everyone's pacing. I suppose all of us, myself included, could do things a bit more frequently. I'd love to see podcasts perhaps once a month from all of my favorite shows, but I certainly realize the time limitations that everybody is under. So we can kick things off with the Accidental Survivors podcast. This is a modern era RPG whose publication schedule, as I mentioned, has been only slightly more frequent than Nuketown Radioactive's, but it's definitely worth a listen. Their most recent episode was Villains You Love and Hate, and before that they did a series of CottageCon posts, or rather shows. CottageCon was pretty cool. They basically took a bunch of guys, went off into the woods, and recorded podcasts, and, well, they didn't just record podcasts, but they played games at a cottage in the woods for a weekend. So it was a mixed bag in terms of how things worked out for them. I think that they learned a lot from it, and they got 3 podcasts out of it. So I think it's definitely worth listening to if you're planning kind of a weekend retreat of your own. I think this is a growing phenomenon amongst gamers, especially those who aren't able to have a weekly game, because it guarantees that you'll actually be able to get together with your friends and game. And it's pure, it's constant. Concentrated. There's no kids. There's no family. All you're doing is playing games. And, you know, I know my group loves it when we do it for NukemCon, and it sounds like ultimately CottageCon was just as much fun. Now, the podcast that I listen to with the most regularity is the Order 66 podcast. Although Star Wars Saga Edition is dead, this fan-produced podcast is still going strong. It's great for anyone who's interested in Star Wars D20 role-playing. Most recent podcasts have focused on variant force traditions as well as different degrees of robots. They also did one on mass combat, cybernetics, and I think the most recent one is actually concentrating on role-playing in the Star Wars universe. So as a Star Wars DM, I really enjoy it. My campaign's still going strong, and I find this podcast to be a constant source of inspiration. The Secret Lair podcast is been one of my favorites for quite a long time. I've been on the show with Chris and Chris a couple of times, and I just like it. It's good, geeky conversation. And they, too, have had a somewhat erratic publishing schedule, but I'm always good. I'm always happy to see one of their shows come down my RSS feed. So their most recent podcast looks at Kindles, iPad, Androids, and basically just the whole idea of e-reading. From what I can tell, I have to admit I haven't actually listened to the podcast yet, but it is next in my queue. The Dungeons and Dragons podcast is probably the longest running commercial podcast that I listen to in terms of a company putting it out. A lot of the other ones have fallen by the wayside, and the D&D podcast is like a lot of the podcasts in this list, coming out on an irregular schedule. But I still do listen when it comes down the pipe, even though I don't play D&D 4th edition anymore. This podcast usually has Q&A about rules, interviews with authors, conversations about upcoming products, and actual play recordings with Penny Arcade, the PvP Online guys, and Will Wheat. It's definitely worth a listen, even if you're not playing D&D. I think it's still kind of cool to keep up with the flagship game in our hobby. The Cato Daily podcast is my regular libertarian fix. It offers political commentary from a libertarian perspective from the Cato Institute. Recent episodes have talked about the Patriot Act, Reagan at 100, constitutional challenges to Obamacare, the Department of Homeland Security, and cutbacks there, potential cutbacks there, and just a bunch of other things. I think it's a cool podcast to listen to because that's the best way to describe it. I think that it will surprise people. I think a lot of people have get confused as to exactly what a libertarian is, thinking maybe it's conservatives light. But I think the beauty of libertarianism is that you are able to piss off people on the left and the right at equal measure, or, and this is the other cool thing, actually agree with people from a variety of political perspectives, because you can kind of cherry pick the arguments that you want to make. So libertarians can get along well with basically socially liberal folks, but we can also get along with financially conservative folks. It's when you don't quite see eye to eye that things get a little bit difficult. But in any case, I think the Cato Daily podcast is worth a listen. If nothing else, it offers a fresh perspective on today's current events. Geek Acres is a podcast by a 40-something geek dad, and I gotta say, Doug, thank you for continuing to break trail for me. Doug turned 40, I think two or three years ago or something like that, because it used to be by a 30-something geek dad. I'm looking down 30. I'm looking down 40. I'm at 39 right now. So thank you, Doug, for continuing to break trail. Recent episodes talk about Lego Agents, upcoming summer movies, and other miscellaneous thoughts from a geek dad. Fear the Boot is probably the most consistent and regular podcast that I currently subscribe to. It is, as always, a rambling but good podcast about role-playing games, how to play them better. Recent episodes have talked about one-shot games, playing multiple PCs, and going from being a game master to a player. I think they can pontificate with the best of them, but I think that the camaraderie of the group really comes through, and I think they have some good ideas. And I think the cool thing about the most recent podcast is they've been trying to put some of their theories into practice, and it's interesting to see how those theories actually play out. I think my favorite new podcast is Flagons and Dragons. It's a combination of beer and gaming, so what isn't to like? Recent episodes have talked about Savage Worlds, Warhammer Fantasy, kids and gaming, introducing new players, and character death. And I really like this podcast. It's pretty short. It's usually about 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes at the outside. Every episode has a conversation about a different gaming topic. I like that they really kind of go from, Pathfinder to Savage Worlds to, the roles of different players in the party. I think that's pretty cool. And I also love how they have their beer break, where they kind of pause and talk about the beer they're drinking. Definitely worth checking out. It comes out, I'd probably say, once or twice a month. And it's definitely one of the ones that rises to the top of my queue. Now, the final podcast I want to talk about is, I think, a really cool experiment. Or I don't know if it's really an experiment at this point because it's been out for a while, but I think it's just a really cool podcast. And it's the H.P. Lovecraft Literary Podcast. And basically, it's a literary review podcast focused on H.P. Lovecraft's fiction. Recent episodes have talked about The Curse of Yig, The Dunwich Horror, and The Color Out of Space. And basically, they have experts on the Cthulhu mythos and H.P. Lovecraft's works on the show. And then they pick apart the different Lovecraft stories, talking about what worked, what didn't work. And just his approach to telling those stories, getting into a little bit of the history of the stories, it's really cool. I think my favorite thing to do is to go take the dog for a walk and spend, 15, 20 minutes in the dark, kind of walking from streetlight to streetlight, listening to this podcast. It's pretty cool, especially when they do their excerpts from the book, and they do a really good job of getting a nice atmospheric read of the fiction. I think it's pretty cool. I think you should check it out, and it's definitely worth listening to if you're a Call of Cthulhu fan, or if you just like horror and H.P. Lovecraft in general. So unfortunately, I also have to say goodbye to a couple of podcasts. These are podcasts that have stayed in my iTunes queue for a very, very long time, but recently I had to delete just because, well, I've given up hope that they'll come back. The first is the Geek Survival Guide, which thankfully actually had a farewell episode. Geek Survival Guide was just a really fun show that talked about different ways to survive things like, zombie uprisings, robotic invasions, that kind of stuff. It was pretty cool. My kids enjoyed listening to it, and I always loved listening to the show while I was getting dinner ready. Roll 2D6 is one of the first podcasts I started listening to, and it was just, two guys talking about the games that they played, but unfortunately they haven't released a show since, I think, 2009. The Wicked Good Podcast was a great, great show with two parents talking about, having their first kid and all of the challenges and tribulations that go from, living in the Northeast in Boston, or at least outside of Boston. The problem is they had twins as a follow-up to their first kid, and I think that pretty much consumed all of their time. So the podcast has unfortunately faded away. And then the podcast that I enjoyed most that has unfortunately passed into the great beyond, and to be honest, they did this a long time ago, is Dice Make Bunk. This was a cool RPG podcast. I know that I think I've said that all of these podcasts are cool, and it was, but it was nice. It was conversational, They just had a way of kind of digging into a fantasy RPG and talking about, the stuff that had happened in their games and kind of the chaos factor. And I saw a lot of my own game in Dice Make Bunk, but unfortunately, it has passed into the great beyond. So I know I've talked about a whole lot of podcasts on this segment of Nuketown Radioactive, but thankfully all of the URLs are available on nuketown.com. Just go to www.nuketown.com/podcast and you should be able to get the latest episode. Click on the show notes and you will see links to every podcast.
Warning, the following information is classified top secret. Well, okay, that's not true, but we think it's cool just to tell you that. The subject of this dossier is Random Signal, a podcast produced from an underground Super Ultra Mondo secret facility located somewhere in the Durham, North Carolina area of the Mid-Atlantic United States. Its host is Jason Adams, codenamed Kryptonaut, called by some as a rebel, a geek, and a spitting image of Jane from Joss Whedon's Firefly. Random Signal is a podcast for the independent musician, offering a platform for music too good for the mainstream music industry. More data can be obtained on the Random Signal at randomsignal.com. It is your mission to fill your podcatching client with many episodes of Random Signal, a podcast that is so totally Airwolf that Ernest Borgnine is starting up a Backstreet Boys tribute band just so he can get an interview on it. Subscribing to Random Signal is your first priority. End of file.
That'll about do it for this episode of Nuketown Radioactive. As always, I need promos. If you have one for your podcast, please send them to me at nuketown@gmail.com. I'm also looking for comments, feedback, what have you about the show. You can also send that to nuketown@gmail.com.